Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we are continuing in discipleship and resurrection from the dead. And this is part three of this particular message. We want to say we greet everybody in the master's name of Yeshua, whether you're in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America, South America, on the internet in general. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. The name of Yeshua HaMashiach. me pull up something here real quick. We pray that everybody has, been observant of Passover and that you are ready to eat richly from the Word of the Most High on this evening. I have been doing a lot of reviewing of a couple of sites that Sister Mary found for me concerning grants and looking at ways forward in what we're attempting to do. Lots of information. I'll just put it that way. Lots of information. So I want to greet everybody in the countries that we are currently broadcasting to, those listeners who are in Afghanistan, Belgium, Canada, Colombia, Finland, France, Germany, Ghana, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, the Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Thailand, United Kingdom, the United States of America, and Vietnam. And I think I'm leaving off one. I think we had another country that joined in. I'll have to look. If I left you off and you're listening in another country and I didn't name your country, I will add you to the list and mention you on the next broadcast or next week. We are happy that the Most High has seen fit to take us globally, to allow us to be heard in countries across the world, and we are endeavoring to spread this gospel into every country, because he says, when the true gospel goes into every country, then the end will come. He said, you shall hear of rumors of wars, and you shall hear of famine and earthquakes in diverse places, and nation coming against nation. He says that these things must happen. They're necessary. But the end is not yet. So, you know, when we're hearing these things and we get concerned, we ought to understand that he says in his own word that he's not coming back until the true gospel gets preached throughout the entire world. And I truly believe that he has given us that ministry to preach the true gospel, to put the fear of men, of him back into men, to call the saints to repentance, all those who are, you know, starting with Israel, and then to the Gentile nations, to call them back into the correct and proper fear of the Most High. And this is what this series, Discipleship, is all about. It's about us as his disciples understanding what is truly required for us to be his disciple. And so this has been a long series. We're currently working in the principles of the doctrines of Christ. And, you know, as part of the discipleship series. And so we are in the resurrection from the dead, part 3. And we want to look at, you know, we're looking at the different understandings in the scriptures concerning not everybody believed in the resurrection. And if we are messiahs, then we must believe in the resurrection. Because if there's no resurrection, then all this that we're doing is for nothing. It would be for nothing. You know, we would be, I believe that we would be good people. We would not be like the average everyday person in the world. But our hope, you know, the scriptures tell us just flat out, if this is not true, then we are miserable indeed, because, you know, we're giving up a lot of the things that are in the world. We're giving up, you know, a lot of the pleasures that men seek after. We're giving up, you know, the love of money, the love of pleasure, the love of being covetous, just the strong survive. So if we feel like we can take it, we just take it. We're giving up all those things. And so we are not like the world. And so Paul says, hey, if this is not true, then we are miserable, most miserable indeed, because this would be all there is. If there's nothing after this life, then this is all that there is. Okay. But we know that we have a hope in Messiah. We know that and believe that he was resurrected from the dead, and that he has promised us that he will resurrect us on the last day or when he returns. Depends upon what group we're in. So that is our hope. That is what our faith is in. And, you know, if we don't believe that, then we really ought not be doing any of this. We ought not to be doing any of it. You know, you should be looking at what's going to make you happy, because this is your reward. This is the only life in, if it's not true, then this is the only life you have. Okay. And you're not going to get, once you die, you're not going to get back up. And so, you know, the scriptures plainly say that. So our hope is in the Most High and in his resurrection and in Messiah. So we want to go ahead and proceed. On Sunday, we will not have a spiritual wellness. We will have a first fruit service and a heave offering. So please have, you know, your heave offering ready on Sunday as the scriptures command us to do. And we will proceed accordingly. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim, our God, a hand clap of praise on this day, for this is a day that Yah Elohim has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is his Sabbath. And he says, by this shall he know that we love him, that we keep his commandments and we keep his Sabbath. So let us give him a hand clap of praise today on his day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We just glorify you and we lift you up and we magnify your name. For you are worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. There is you and there is only you and there is no other God. Hallelujah. Every other God is a false God, Father. And we just want to bow down and worship you and you alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. You are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And Father, we magnify you and extol you on this day, and we honor you as you have proclaimed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, you have said that, Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins if we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you. But, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we ask that you would hear our prayers and our supplications. And this will be our testimony that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, obey, come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and your judgments. Now, Father, as we go forth in the kingdom tonight, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I will personalize this reading. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our hearts and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray for us toward and pray toward thee toward their our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee for all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carry us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Now therefore, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. We're going to get verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Remember, the Most High doesn't love everyone. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8. And let's get verse 17. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me shall find me. Those that seek me early shall find me. And finally, let's go to the book of John. Let's see what Messiah said about this. The book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14, we're going to get verse 15. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, it is the Shabbat. It is also the Feast of Unleavened. Let us blow the shofar.
is always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we and with his own finger, it was personally written. But still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians. Like when Christ came, the Sabbath day start switching, but no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles. Like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the menu? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath, and he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the definition of Christian was those that follow Christ. And the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness, I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture that's written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies, say their face turned blue. Your New Testament refused, eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. Man, Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed. Since the Lord start dealing with man, somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the word of God. Sister and brother, there is no change. The Lord says he's God and he changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take hallowed issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direction.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for his deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested. Hallowed and blessed it. My folks is professing. Follow Jesus' directions.
I've been changed, I've been changed. I'll be the first to say I was one of them, that we only live by grace. And just by faith, I was taught to listen to what my pastor say. Only you should trust in him, he'll never lead you astray. Now that I know better, they don't even live according to the letters. They throw away the holy scriptures, telling me that it's all done with.
I've been changed,
I've been changed, I've been changed,
I've been changed.
The truth has made me free.
I've been changed.
I am no longer deceived.
I've been changed.
I've been changed. Now let's take something that is so simple. Something simple like the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
It is written that his word don't change.
Why do you lie and defy the holy scripture? Just to satisfy your desire. And now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. Throw away the holy scriptures, telling me that it's all done with.
I've been changed,
I've been changed, I've been changed,
I've been changed.
Ain't no going back to what I used to do, no,
I've
no
been changed.
I'm a new man, I've been changed,
I've been changed.
Whatever y'all say, I will obey. I no longer listen to men. Everything they say, let the word of Yah be true, and let every man be a liar.
I've been changed,
I've been changed,
I've been changed,
I've been changed. No more worshiping on a Sunday.
I've been changed.
No more Christmas, no more Easter.
Global audience and say Shabbat Shalom, Happy Sabbath to everyone. Whether you're in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, we greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We are still in the discipleship series, and because this is a new part to this lesson, we are going to go over the definition of disciple again. And then the scriptures that give us the foundation of discipleship. And then we're going to go to the book of Acts. And we're going to look at discipleship from the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead from the standpoint of the book of Acts. So a disciple, by definition, has been shown to be someone who follows the teachings, life, and aim of another until the person becomes like the master. Discipleship in Christianity, or in the faith, since it's the process of making someone become like Christ, or like Yeshua. The disciples of Yeshua is become like Yeshua in everything. And so this is what we strive to do. This is what he came for. He came to die for our sins, but to also give us the example as to how we're supposed to walk. And we are supposed to become Christ-like or like Yeshua HaMashiach. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Let us do our foundational work again so that anybody downloading the broadcast, they don't have to go back any and listen to, you know, previous broadcasts trying to find out how we have defined this. Remember that Mashiach himself said, this is not given to everyone to understand. Okay, it wasn't given to the masses back then. It's not given to the masses today. So we got to understand that. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9. Starting in verse 9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? Why don't you just tell them straight out? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and they hearing hear not, neither do they understand. So this is not given to the masses to understand. This is given to those who truly are seeking after Messiah with everything. He says, seek you with his whole heart. So we're going to look at these foundations of discipleship, what it takes to be a disciple. And in them is fulfilled prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So this is not given to the masses. It wasn't given to the masses in Messiah's day, and it's still true today. The masses will not get this. They're too busy trying to do their own thing. They're not listening to the word of the Most High, and they're not seeking the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to guide them. They want to make up their own doctrine. So we have all these different denominations. We have all these different understandings. But Messiah himself said it was not given to them. It's only given to those that he has chosen to understand this. So we have to understand that. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. How are we supposed to become disciples of Messiah? It's the first thing we got to do. The foundations of discipleship. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Got to seek the kingdom first. That's the first part of discipleship. He says, you got to seek my kingdom first and my righteousness. And all this other stuff that you're saying that you want, I'll change your heart for it if it's worldly. But I'll add unto you whatever you need. Okay, so we're seeking, you know, fame and riches and glory and all this stuff. The things of the world, the Most High says, those aren't the things that are important to me. I'll give you a heart for me. Seek me first and my righteousness. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hideth for joy thereof, and goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So you got to value the kingdom so high that you would be willing to sell your all to get it. It's got to be so valuable to you that nothing that you have is more valuable than the kingdom and getting into his kingdom. That's the mindset we got to have. So we got to first seek the kingdom. And then we got to place such value on it that there's nothing more valuable than the kingdom of the Most High. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, we've got to put such value on the kingdom that there's nothing more valuable than the kingdom of the Most High. Should be the first thing that we seek, and Elohim's righteousness. And he says, now that you're seeking my kingdom, it's got to be the most valuable thing in your life. Can't value your education over it. You can't value your house over it, your car. We're going to find out your children, your family. Nothing can be more important than this kingdom. Nothing can be more valuable than this kingdom if we want to be his disciple. Okay? The book of Psalms, chapter 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 34. Psalms 119 and verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. When we have understanding and understand that we have walked contrary to the Most High, when we have that understanding, then we understand that we need to keep his law, his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. We can't make this thing up for ourselves. We can't say, oh, he's understanding, because he gives us everything. He tells us everything, and he tells us what he expects. He wants you to seek it with your whole heart. Seek first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. Value it above everything else, and seek it with your whole heart. Obey it with your whole heart, not pieces of you. Well, you know, I can get a Most High 50%, or I can give him 90%, or I can give him 95%. He says, I want your whole heart. That's 100%. He don't have to settle for less. And this is where people, I think that they just misunderstand, or they think that they can just give the Most High what they want to give him when he tells us what he wants. I want your whole heart, not a piece of you, but all of you. You can't have nothing more valuable in your life than me. And you need to be seeking this kingdom. You want to make it into this kingdom, you need to be seeking this kingdom first and my righteousness. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 24. Foundations for being a disciple of Christ, a disciple of Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. This is the new covenant that Messiah instituted. What did he change? What was the Most High going to change from the old covenant? And I will give them a heart to know me. He will put it in our hearts to know him, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. He's not looking for people who are going to give him a piece of them. He's not looking for people who don't have time, that won't make a space for him. And when they make a space for him, it's about giving him their all. This is what the church is not telling people. Churches are telling you, hey, come, and whatever you want to give him, it's all right. No, it's not all right. Okay? He wants your whole heart. He wants your all. Got to be the most valuable thing in your life. And he's got to be first. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. The book of Luke chapter 14. Discipleship. These are the foundations of discipleship. Okay. Luke chapter 14. And let's start in verse 26. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. And we're going to be reading through 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother. Let me just read it. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You can't have anybody in your life more important than the Most High, more important than Messiah. He says, or else you cannot be his disciple. It's not you don't, you know, you're going to be a poor disciple. He says, you cannot be. You got anybody more important than me in your life? You cannot be my disciple. That's just straight up. Seek my kingdom first. Value my kingdom as the most valuable thing in your life. Seek me with your whole heart and don't have nobody and nothing else that comes before me. These are his words. Not that, you know, well, I come and I give you whatever I feel like I want to give you. And yeah, I got, you know, I need to go to school and I need to do this job and I need to get this business off the ground and I need to buy my house and I need to do X, Y, and Z. And the Most High is a second, third, or fourth thought. And then we want to say that we belong to him. He says, no. Well, you know, I can't come because of my mother or my father or my sister or my brother or my husband or my wife, my son, my daughter. He says, ain't nobody better be more important than me in your life. And if it is, then you cannot be my disciple. Do we believe what we're reading? Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, whatever I put on you, whatever you have to do to seek me with your whole heart, to live the life that I have said that you ought to live, if you want to be my disciple and you want to get into my kingdom, you want to be a citizen of my kingdom, this is what I require, that you bear your cross and come after me. And if you can't do that, you cannot be my disciple. He didn't say, you know, he's not making it a maybe. He's not making it, well, you know, you're going to be a poor disciple if you don't do that. He's saying, no, you cannot be. Verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counts the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? Leave happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What he's simply saying here is this. When you come to him and you're asking him to forgive your sin and you want to be a citizen in his kingdom and you want to make it in, he says, you got to consider the cost. What is it that I require of you? Is it that I require of you that you just believe? Is it that I require of you that you just be sorry? No, I told you I want your whole heart. I told you that nothing can be more important than me. What is that going to take you to do that? Have you considered the cost? Nobody goes and buys a house or a car or anything else and don't consider what it's going to cost them and what they're going to have to do to get it. He says the same thing of the kingdom. And so the church is never telling people to consider the cost. This is what it's going to cost you. You're all. Not that we're just trying to get you up in here to attend Sunday school or to attend Bible study and pay tithes. This has to become a way of life. It has to become who you are. And you got to do it with joy. Anything less, you know, as if the creator of the universe has to accept anything less. So he can't be an afterthought, can't be second or third on your list. He says, I'm priority number one. And if you put anything or anybody above me, you cannot be my disciple. Consider the cost. Are you willing to pay it? Because if you're not, if you don't, as I said before, if you believe that this life is all that there is, then you might as well go out and party hard and do whatever you're going to do, because when you die, this is it. But if your faith is in that there is a life after this and that life is secure and that Messiah came that you might have, be able to get life eternal, that he's going to resurrect you and bring you into the kingdom, then you got to do what he says to do. And so he says, you say that you know me, but then indeed you deny me. You say you know me, but you don't do what I say to do. You don't obey my voice. You don't keep my commandments. You make me second, third, fourth, fifth priority on your list. And then you say you belong to me. He says, no. And, you know, as if the creator of the universe has to settle for second best. He doesn't, and he won't. This is what the church is not telling us. This is where our forefathers fell down at. Who shall believe our report? They didn't believe the Most High. They didn't believe that he would do what he said he would do. They didn't follow his commandments. They didn't obey his judgments. They did what they wanted to do, what was right in their own eyes. He says, I don't have to put up with this. I love you, but I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to, I'm not going to deal with this. I chose you as a people. But you're going to have to come to me correct. And even with the church is doing the same thing that Israel did, that our forefathers did. Oh, if I sin, all I got to do is say I'm sorry. And he is true and just to forgive me. Taking those verses completely out of context. So he says, seek me first and my righteousness. Make me the most valuable thing in your life. Seek me with your whole heart. And don't love anything or anyone more than you love me, or you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be like me, and you cannot get into my kingdom. But this is not what the church is telling people. So we got people going, you know, to church like a social club. And doing those things that, you know, makes them feel good. So we got to consider the cost. Am I willing to do what it is that he's saying to do? To be his disciple? To become a citizen in his kingdom? Or am I just wanting to go through the motions? All right. So those are the foundations. One, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Number two, value the Most High. As the most valuable, the Most High Messiah, value him as the most important being in your life. Seek him with your whole heart. Don't put anybody else above him. And consider what it's going to cost you to do this so that you don't fall short. Okay? Those are the foundations of discipleship. Now we have to learn how to be a disciple. We got to first have that heart, that mindset, in order to even belong to him. And then we have to learn how do we have to do that. Now, we were coming from the book of Hebrews as the foundation. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. The book of Hebrews chapter 6. And let me find my place here. In this particular lesson. Give me a hot second here. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. The book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Because we're looking at, we understand what we need to do. We understand the mentality that we have to have. And then in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, of the doctrines of Mashiach. What did Mashiach teach on these things? Leaving those doctrines, the principles of those doctrines. You know, like I said, when I first read that, I was like, what in the heck are you talking about leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ? Why would we ever want to leave them? But what the scripture is really saying is you should be able to graduate from that. This is the minimum that you should do, that you should know. Let us go on to perfection. How do we reach perfection? Not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works. Shouldn't have to be taught what are dead works over and over and over again. Shouldn't have to be having to learn that over and over and over again. Shouldn't have to repent over and over and over again. So moving on from the foundation of repentance from dead works. Once you know what the laws are, and you know what sin is, the transgression of the law, and you learn what the laws are, then you shouldn't willfully break them. What you don't know, the Most High won't hold you accountable for. He will send you somebody to tell you what's right and what's wrong. He'll send somebody to teach you the law. And he'll show you that, hey, sin is the transgression of my law. If you break my law, it is sin. You have broken the law. So when you find out that you have sinned, then you repent of it. You turn away from it. You don't do it anymore. He says, I will forgive that because you didn't know what you were doing. But if you know, if you willfully being disobedient, I'm not going to forgive that. If you're willfully, you know you're breaking my laws, you're going to do it anyway, then there remaineth no more blood for that, because you knew what you were doing wrong. You didn't do it in ignorance. You knew. So we shouldn't have to keep going over that, those dead works. Shouldn't have to keep learning that. But we should walk in his ways and in his path that he sets for us. And faith toward Elohim. The faith toward Elohim is to believe what he says. He's going to do what he says that he's going to do. His word is good. So if he says it, your faith should just automatically, I believe it, and I'm going to act accordingly. I'm not going to say I believe it and then act in a different way. If I believe what he says and I have faith in his word, then I'm going to do what he says to do. And if I don't, I'm going to feel awful bad about it. And I'm going to, especially if it comes to sin, because we, you know, as he tells us, the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of him. The beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Most High. Because he tells us he's going to do terrible things. But no, they're not going to teach you that. He's all merciful. He's all kind. He's all loving. He loves those that love him. He says, and if you love me, keep my commandments. Other than that, you're my enemy. But we're not being told that. If you love me, keep my commandments. So we make sure that we stay in this frame of mind, that we are going to obey him, to show that we love him. Okay? So we shouldn't have to continually learn how to have faith in him. Have faith in him. Having faith in him is simply to believe him and do what he says do. I believe. And my faith is that everything that you say is going to happen is going to happen, and everything that you say you're going to do, you're going to do. And everything you say you're not going to do, you're not going to do. Your word is good. It cannot fail. When that's established, we shouldn't have to keep relearning that, okay? And of the doctrines of baptism, and we talked about the baptism of water and the baptism in the Spirit. Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit of the Most High. Many are called, and few are chosen. Who's doing the calling? The Most High. Who's doing the choosing? The Most High. He's looking for those who will seek him with their whole heart, who are willing to pay the price. So we have to believe his word. Many are called, few are chosen. He says it's not given to everybody to understand or to even hear it. Okay? The laying on of hands. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The laying on of hands for healing, for the transfer of power, for the receiving the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. This doctrine, once we know these things, we have to walk in them. We shouldn't have to keep relearning them. We should walk in them and walk toward what? Perfection. But if we don't know these things or we don't believe them, we can never what? Reach perfection in the eyes of the Most High. because he's telling us what it takes. So we just have to believe what he has said. So right now we're doing the resurrection of the dead. In the last part of this precept for the doctrines of Mashiach, going on from them, once we know these doctrines and understand what they mean and what they say, and we walk in them, then we can continue to learn and to move toward perfection. We walk in it in our lives. We perform these things. They become us. So the last part of this will be his eternal judgment. Let's go to the book of Acts. We stopped last week on Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts chapter 17. And let me get in my place. Okay, the book of Acts chapter 17. And I don't know why I'm not finding where I was at. Healing. One hot second. Okay. Acts chapter 17. And we're going to start in verse, I don't know what's up with this computer. So start in verse 18. Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 18. And now this is when Paul is, he's in Greece. And we're going to, I want you to pay attention to the attitude of these people, okay, and what they're about, because we got people today, what I call having itching ears, always want to hear something, above board, that's not the word I'm looking for, fantastic, something new. So just pay attention to these people's attitude, okay? Then certain philosophers, you know, philosophers are people who think and they talk about and discuss different philosophies of life, different doctrines. And this is what these people in this particular city do. The philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. Now, they were talking about Paul. And some said, what will this babbler say? Yeah, that's just totally disrespectful. They call him Paul a babbler. Oh, he's just babbling. Others, some, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, strange Elohims, because he preached unto them Yeshua and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. What are you talking about? What's this new stuff you're talking about here? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else. How they spend their time? But either to tell or to hear some new thing. Itching ears. Some new doctrine. And in their city, they got a, you know, they have all these different gods that they worship because they don't really know what to worship. And this is the way the old world was. All these different societies. Like Egypt had like 10 deities that they worship. The Greeks had hundreds. And he's in Athens among the Athenians, and they got a shrine to every god that they can think of. Even to a God, the unknown God, in case we left out somebody. So Paul uses this as an inroad to them. Oh, there's a God you don't know. There's an Elohim you don't know. Okay? Then Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill, verse 22, and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." And that we have a lot of that going on today. A lot of unbelief, a lot of superstition, a lot of believing that, you know, man is the answer for man, that we can govern ourselves. You know, when they talk about, you know, Babylon and coming out of confusion, people think that that has to do with that. It does have to do with the statue that he shows Daniel. But that statue represents the governments of the world and mankind trying to govern himself. Anytime that we think that we can govern ourselves better than the Creator, we got to be confused. That's why he calls it confusion. Babylon. Confusion. You must be confused. You think you can, you know more about yourself than I do and I made you. Just continue. "For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God or the unknown Elohim, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you." Let me tell you about the one you don't know about. You're worshiping him ignorantly, and you don't even know why you worship him. Let me tell you about him. God, or Elohim, that made the world. He's telling them this is the unknown God. It's not Zeus. It's not Mercury. It's not Jupiter. Because these are the gods of the Greeks, the Greek mythology. It's not them. They don't even claim to have created the world. The unknown God you serve is the one that created the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord or master of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. You know, y'all worshiping y'all gods, and you bring this sacrifice and you bring this offering because your God needs it. You don't never see your God consume it. You don't never see him use it. But in your mind and in the false religion that you have created, your God needs. The unknown God don't need anything from you, seeing that he gives all life and breath and all things. He don't need anything from you. You need from him. "And has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations." So he's made, when it says one blood, we all have blood. We have determined that we have different blood types, A, B, or O, negative, whatever you want to say, but it's still blood. And that he, before he created everything, said, this is going to be a people, and this is going to be their habitation, and this is how big their country is going to be. He did that beforehand, that they should seek, Yah, or their master, the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So he's portraying to them that they are the children of the Most High because they were created by him. But the Most High says, he don't love all of us. I love them that love me. And to become actually his son, a child of his, we must be born by his spirit. But Paul wants their interest. Hook you, reel you in, and then over time I can teach you what all it really takes to become his. Okay? But he's got to hook them first. Let me tell you about this unknown God. "For as much then as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened unto gold and silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." In other words, the Godhead, God himself, is not man-made. He made man, but he's not man-made, and he's not something that he created. So you can't go get some gold and mold it into this image and give it a name and say it's your God. You can do that, but then now you're idol worshiping. And if you don't, you know, get some gold or some silver, if you make up in your mind who and what God is, who and what Elohim is, you have just done the same thing. You just didn't make it out of molten lead or out of gold or silver. You made up a God in your own mind as to who he is and what he is. And this is what he's saying, hey, you ought to know better. Okay. And the times of this ignorance, because he says, if you do that, he says, you should be able to look around you and just the nature that I put in you, you should be able to look at nature. You should be able to look at the universe. Look at the world around you and know that this just didn't happen. There is an intelligent thought behind this. That nature is in you. That there's got to be a greater being that created this. Okay, that should be in you. He says that in the times of this ignorance, Elohim winked at. But now commands all men everywhere to repent. Turn away from that ignorance, that foolishness, because I have revealed myself in the world. I have shown that I exist. I chose for me a people. See, what a lot of people don't realize is the Elohim of the Bible used to be the Elohim of Egypt. And when Egypt corrupted themselves, he said, I'm going to take out of the world for me another people to be my priesthood, to be my inheritance. The Egyptians had great knowledge of the Most High. But they corrupted themselves, and they corrupted the religion. They corrupted the worship. So the Most High went and got them a people, another people, called Israel. So he says, there was a time that I winked at that ignorance, that stuff that y'all were doing. But I took out of this world a people to prove to that I exist and who I am. And then I sent or came into the world myself as the Son to redeem you. Okay? So I winked at your ignorance in times past. But now I'm commanding men allwhere, everywhere, to repent. Because he has appointed a day. See, people get confused because the judgment is not coming right away. Like when he formed the nation of Israel, and when he was teaching them his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his ordinances, his judgment would come right away. They sin and judgment would come. I need to teach you how to correctly walk before me. I need to teach you that I shall be sanctified before the people. You just can't approach me any kind of way. You just can't do whatever you want to do with me. So if you go back and you read these scriptures, you'll find out when they transgressed, they got punished. And a lot of times, 90% of the time, it was somebody dying. Because he don't play. But somehow, you know, today people think he's playing because judgment is not coming right away. Why? Because he has appointed a day now. He says, I'm going to give you a time. I'm going to extend grace. I have put my statutes, my laws, and my commandments in the world. I have told you that this is what's acceptable to me. And if you want to belong to me, if you want to say you belong to me, then this is what you must do. And I'm not going to judge everybody right away. I have appointed a day to do that, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained through Mashiach, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. So if we don't believe in Messiah, we don't believe in the resurrection from the dead, then yeah, by all means, go ahead and do, have fun in this life. But if you believe that there's a life after this one, and he's telling you that he's the one that controls it. I'm the one that controls who's going to live forever on the earth in peace And I'm the one that's going to control who's going to go into the lake of fire forever. If you don't believe that, then yeah, do what you need to do. But if you believe that, if you understand that he exists and that he's appointed a day. So men seem like they're getting away with everything right now. He said, there's a day coming. And when that day comes, I'm going to judge the entire world. And it's not going to be pretty. Because everybody that's contrary to me, it's not going to be good for them. And everybody who thinks that they're worshiping me, but not worshiping me in spirit and in truth, not giving me their whole heart, not seeking me first, that I'm not the most valuable thing in their life, they're going to find out just how bad a decision that was. Because I'm the creator of everything, and I don't have to accept second best. I don't have to accept what I don't want. That's why he says, to he that can hear, let him hear. Let's move on. So it's by this understanding that he raised up the one that he's going to save the world by that you need to know about. You got to believe that he raised him from the dead. Don't believe that, then you might as well do what you want to do. Do you. Okay. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 23. Because even today, the Most High still needs to be introduced to people because they are worshiping a false God. They're worshiping a false Elohim. They're making up things in their mind, and then you know, a lot of people go to church and they hear stuff and they're like, that don't make sense to me. And they can't explain it well enough to make people really understand it. And then when it's a falsehood, then you know what we're taught when we're young, a lot of the times we want to hold on to it. We just want to hold on to it because we believe it's true. It's what we have been living on. And if somebody comes and shows that what we've been living on is a lie, then we don't really want to accept that. But the Most High says, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. So when you hear something, if it doesn't sit right with you, then you take it to the Most High. He says, bring it to me if you lack wisdom, if you lack knowledge. Then come and ask me. A lot of people don't really go and ask the Most High. They're praying amiss. Acts chapter 23, verse 8. Let's look at the Sadducees. So we have the Sadducees and we have the Pharisees in Yeshua's time, in Messiah's time. So we got the Sadducees, the Pharisees, we got the elders and the scribes, okay? And they are the power structure in Israel at that time. The Sadducees are really the elders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They're really the elders of Israel. And so when the Most High created Israel, he had the priesthood and he had the elders and he had the kingship. And the kingship was to rule over the people. As far as, you know, governance, the priesthood was to minister between the people and the Most High. And then the elders were to teach the people the law and to enforce it. So when Messiah comes, we got these two schools of thought, though, among them. They have the Torah and they have the prophets, but they have come to different understandings. So in Acts chapter 23, verse 8. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. This is what they believe. Neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both, that there's a resurrection and angels and a spirit. Two different trains, you know, trains of thought. But Messiah said he is the resurrection. Messiah said that he's going to raise people up on the last day. Messiah said, if you believe in him, you shall receive life, and that more abundantly. So he's come in against half of the population that believes one way and confirming with another half that what they believe is what, correct, or a third, whatever it is. So we have to believe that There's angels. If there's angels, there's demons. Okay, can't have one without the other. Let's go to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, verse 21. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection. Now they are coming against Paul. They want to, you know, they want to, when Messiah selected Paul on the road to Damascus, he told him, he says, hey, you've been persecuting my church. It's me that you've been persecuting. The church that I started. Paul was going around and what? Arresting them. His name was Saul at the time. Arresting them and persecuting them and killing them. But the Most High wanted to use Paul because Paul was a lawyer. And if I'm going to affect change in the law that I've given you, I can't do it through a fisherman or a tent maker or a tax collector. I need a lawyer. Somebody who understands the law. And this is why he chose Paul. Because I'm going to make some changes to the law, and I need a lawyer who's going to understand the law and understand what changes I want made. But you're going to suffer, Paul, for persecuting my church. You thought you were doing a good, but you weren't. And a lot of times today, people are still in that mode. Think they're doing a good. Think they are on the Most High side, but they're not in truth. So they're doing things. You know, how are you going to say you're a Christian and then say that, you know, you're a white Christian? I'm going to go there. You're a white Christian and you're a white Christian pastor, and you know that your people are shooting other people unjustly and you don't say anything about it. You don't hold them accountable for it. That is not right. And this is what Messiah was coming against. These types of things. Is salvation for everyone? Yes. But everybody has to obey the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Everybody has to be accountable to the Most High. So except I be, so Paul was being persecuted. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, am I called into question by you this day? Because I said there is a resurrection. Those Sadducees they want to kill me. But the men he's talking to, Paul, you know, Paul is talking to Pharisees. There's Sadducees and Pharisees in this room. So he appeals to the Pharisees because he knows that they believe in the resurrection. So he's playing, you know, both ends against the middle. I need to have some people on my side or they're going to kill me. He says, so it's only because I'm preaching the resurrection of Christ, of Messiah, that these men want to kill me. That's the only reason why I'm here today. Because this was part of the gospel. Because not everybody believed in the resurrection. So he got the Pharisees to take his side. Okay, Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts chapter 13. And we're going to get verse 36. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 36. And let me get there myself. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 36. Let's actually start in verse 35. Acts chapter 13, verse 35. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of Elohim, fell asleep. He died and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Now, what he's having, they're having this conversation, he's trying to prove that David's not talking about himself. David, by prophetic word is talking about someone else. So David is not the Holy One that he was talking about. This is Messiah that he's talking about. But he whom Elohim raised again saw no corruption. So David lived, died, and he started rotting. That's corruption. His body started to break down. That's corruption. Okay, he's not talking about breaking the law, which he did anyway. But he's talking about in corruption in this way, that his flesh started to decay. But Messiah was not supposed to see corruption. His flesh was not supposed to see corruption. He's not supposed to start rotting. Okay? He would be out of the tomb before that happened. Be resurrected and out of tomb. This is what was always foretold. That he would come. He would die for the sins of the people. He would stay in the grave for 3 days. And he would come out and his body would not start to rot. So a human being doesn't start to rot right away when you die. Your body doesn't start to actually decompose for 3 days at the fourth day. So Messiah had to come out of the tomb before then. But it's telling you that David went into the grave and he saw corruption. His body rotted away. But he whom Elohim raised again saw no corruption. He didn't start to rot. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by whom all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could be justified by the law of Moses. Now, the law of Moses, and I want to make sure we understand that the law of Moses is a law given to Moses by the Most High. Moses didn't make up some laws by himself and say, oh, this is good. This is good. No, the Most High told Moses everything. Tell the children of Israel this. This is my commandment on this. This is my ordinance on this. This is my statute on this. This is an ordinance to the people. He told Moses. But because he gave it to Moses, the scriptures are written the law of Moses. And so a lot of people, you know, want to say, oh, well, Moses did this. No, the Most High told Moses. Moses didn't write down anything that the Most High didn't tell him to write. He didn't give a single law that the Most High didn't tell him. He didn't say, oh, you know what? I'll give the bill of divorcement. I'll allow you to divorce your wife. He didn't give that. The Most High gave it. Gave it and said, Moses, you know, these men, they're acting crazy. They are actually wanting more than one wife. And then I told them they could have more than one wife, but then when they get another wife, they don't want to take care of the first one. And because they don't want to take care of the first one, they're killing them. They're finding some uncleanliness in them by the law and saying, hey, I can get rid of her. Oh, she cheated. Just coming up with all kind of stuff. And Messiah had to straighten this stuff out. So the Most High said, yeah, let them give them a bill of divorce rather than kill them. Messiah came along and said, hey, it was never intended. That was never the intention. But because of the hardness of the men's heart, the Most High allowed Moses to give them the bill of divorcement. But it was never his intent. So he, you know, as I tell people, the New Testament is harder than the old. The New Covenant is harder than the old. Because the New Covenant says, hey, if a man puts away his wife for any reason other than she cheated, he is an adulterer. And whoever he marries is an adulterer with him. If he marries another woman, then she also is an adulterer by marrying him. So don't put him away for just any reason like you've been doing. If she cheats, she goes outside the marriage. Now, up under the law, if she cheated and went outside the marriage, by the law, she was supposed to have been stoned, killed. That was that. But they were finding all kind of reasons. So he says, hey, let them write a bill of divorcement. And she can remarry. But Messiah came along and said, hey, it was never intended that way. And up under the new covenant, it ain't allowed. harder. Under the old covenant, if somebody was cheating, one person couldn't come along and say, hey, we saw so-and-so cheating. There had to be two or three witnesses. The law specifically forbid that if it was only one witness, you couldn't bring charges. Had to be two or three witnesses. The Most High says, up under the new covenant, I judge your heart, and I see your heart. I know all things, and I'm going to judge you according to your heart. Don't have to be two or three witnesses now. He says, so if you see a woman and you lust after her, and in your mind you have been with her, he says, you are guilty. Under the law, they would have to catch you, you and her together. Under the new covenant, You thought on that thing, and you thought on it long enough that the only reason why you didn't do it is because the opportunity didn't physically present itself. But had it physically presented itself, you would have done it. That's what I'm going to judge you on. It's harder. It's not easier. So we got to understand this. But they had to understand that Messiah had to come for all those people who had what? Transgressed the law of Moses, who had broken the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. This is what Messiah came for. Adam and Eve started off. One commandment, don't eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. They broke it. They transgressed. He says from that point on, all men were sinning. They were transgressing. And not after the same way that Adam did. So it says from Adam to Moses, there was sin in the world, but God didn't count it against them. Not like I'm going to charge you, and when I resurrect you, I'm going to send you to the lake of fire, because I hadn't given you my law yet. So we find out that in those 3 days, Messiah went back. That's a whole other story. But today, every person has to come into accountability with the Most High. What he says is right and wrong. And even when it's contrary to our nature, let Elohim be right and every man a liar. Because some things we don't want to agree with, because we personally just don't agree with that. The Most High didn't ask you if you agreed with it. He said, these are my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. Do them and you shall live. So when man broke the commandments, when man didn't keep them, the Most High said they sinned. And we know we went back through the old covenant. We went back through all the laws. We took like 6 months to go back through all of that. We found out that if you transgress in 99.9% of the commandments, the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, and the ordinances, if you broke them, the penalty was death. It wasn't a slap on the wrist. It wasn't, oh, you can say you're sorry. If you willfully, if you knew what you were doing, it was automatic death. It is not, oh, I can repent. I can say I'm sorry. No, it was death for 99.9% of all the laws to transgress it. So you didn't take that thing lightly. Now, people say up under the new covenant, they're not up under the law. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's a twisting of the scriptures. Because if you don't steal, then you're not subject to the law of stealing. If you don't covet, you're not subject to the law of covetousness. If you don't commit adultery, you're not subject to the law of committing adultery, of adultery or fornication. But if you do it, then you're subject to that law. And so as we know, Christ, Messiah, came and died for your sins that are past, not future. Scripture says he died for your sins and was a payment for your sins that are past. the day you came to him, recognized him as your Savior, and that he died for your sins. He says you confess that you were a sinner. You go down and you're baptized in his name. You were supposed to repent and stop doing all that. Not I'm trying to, but you're supposed to repent and stop doing it. He says, then I forgave all that. Now, after this point, you're supposed to be learning the rest of my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. So you knew that these things were sin, and you confessed them. And I am true and just and forgave you those things. Even those things that you did willfully at first, one time. Forgiven for you one time. He says, now go and sin no more. Now, after that, you know something's wrong and you do it. He says, there is no more blood for that. You got a certain judgment, looking for a judgment. So people are teaching people that, hey, they can just sin unlimitedly and say, oh, I'm sorry. And that he is true and just. If we confess it, we are true and just to for. He's true and just to forgive us. But that's not what the scripture teaches. He's not a fool. He says, I'm not going to be mocked. You can talk that crazy stuff if you want to. But when you get before me, you're going to find out different. So the churches are teaching people wrong. I just say it, wrong. It's going to cause a lot of people to enter into the lake. But they can come to Messiah, all mankind through every generation until that day comes that he's decided that he's going to judge. Every generation has salvation open to them through Messiah. He died once and for all forever. But he didn't die once and for all your sin forever. He died once and for all people forever. So that in each generation, every person that hears the gospel and comes to him and wants salvation, they learn what they have done, and then they repent of it. They turn away from it. They have godly sorrow and turn away from it. Stop doing it. He says, and I'm true and just to forgive you. Even the very first time that you come to me and you knew these things were wrong, but you hadn't come to me before, so I'm going to forgive all your sin. I'm going to wipe it out and give you a clean slate. You can start over. But after that day, you better not sin willfully. You better not know something is wrong and do it. He's not true and just to forgive that. And that's what his word teaches. So people are think they're abusing him. Thinking that, oh, he's all loving, he's all kind, he's all forgiving. That's not what the scripture teaches. But we want all men to hear the gospel of Messiah, to understand the statutes, laws, commandments of the Most High, and understand that if they are breaking them, if they're doing something that he says not to do, they are in transgression. If they're doing something that he said, they're not doing something that he says to do, they are in transgression. They have broken his law, his commandments. In times past, he winked at that. He's no longer winking at that. He says, now I have appointed a day that I'm going to call all mankind into judgment. So you may not see judgment come right away right now. He says, but there's a day coming that I'm going to judge the whole world. So understand that we are justified in Messiah, but our sins are not justified. He says, believe on me. You heard that I'm going to resurrect everybody and give everybody eternal life. You believe that? You want eternal life? You want it in the kingdom, in peace with me? Then you don't want to be an outlaw. You don't want to be a lawbreaker. Because I'm going to deal with lawbreakers. And I'm not going to deal with them. It won't be well when I deal with them. It's not going to be anything nice. So he's given a space for mankind to do that. In these last days, we see it going back to the way it was in Noah's time, where men's thoughts are continually evil. So all they think about is evil stuff and doing wickedness and justifying it. So he tells us, yeah, in the last days it's going to be like that. Men's thoughts will be evil continually. All they think about doing is wickedness. Even when they think that they're doing good, they're doing it contrary to what I have said. So like he don't matter. Have no fear of him at all. Make up what he's going to do. So we got to understand this. If you believe in the resurrection, then you know that he's going to resurrect you and you're going to be held accountable. Let's go to Acts chapter 24. The book of Acts chapter 24. The book of Acts chapter 24, and we're going to get verse 15. Let's actually start. Let's actually start in verse 14. Acts chapter 24, starting in verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, what these people are calling heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now, a heretic is somebody that doesn't believe the doctrine the way that you believe it, okay, and doesn't practice it the way that you practice it. And Paul is saying, these people are trying to kill Paul, and Paul is saying, I'm confessing unto you that after the way which they call heresy, because the Hebrews believe that you're supposed to worship God and that no man can die for your sin and that Messiah wasn't the Messiah, that Yeshua HaMashiach wasn't the Messiah. So they say, you're preaching heresy. You're preaching against the law of Moses. You're preaching lies. This is what they're really saying about Paul and the apostles. See, he says, so in the way that they call heresy, so worship I the Elohim, the God of my fathers, believing all things. This is what people don't do today. They don't believe all things which are written in the law. Matter of fact, they say, we ain't up under the law. Like the Most High has a lawless kingdom. You just go about doing whatever the hell you want to do. This is what the church is teaching. You're not up under the law. All you got to do is love one another. It is a lie from the pits of hell. And Paul never taught that. Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. The Most High says, don't do these things. Honor my Sabbath and keep it holy. Thou shalt not have any other God before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Thou shalt not have any image of anything in the heavens above or the earth beneath or in the waters and bow yourself down to it and worship it. Honor my Sabbath day and keep it holy. Those are just the 10 instructions. The church don't even keep but 9 if they keep 9. Because they changed the Sabbath. He says the seventh day is the Sabbath. Honor it and keep it holy. Can't make up a day that you want to worship on. Oh, you know, my job requires me to work on that day. Oh, wait a minute. The Holy Roman Catholic Church said that they don't want to worship like the Hebrews worship. So they're going to change the day of worship to Sunday, the first day of the week, as if they are authorized to do that. And then the rest of the church, the Protestant churches, after they start rebelling against the Catholic Church, kept that doctrine. And the Catholic Church, in their own encyclopedia, will tell you, if you are a Protestant, if you're not a Catholic, and you're a Protestant, then your Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday night. We changed it to Sunday for us. So if you keep Sunday, no matter what you call yourself, you're a Catholic. That's what they tell them. But the Most High said, no, the seventh day of the week is my holy Sabbath. And that's what you're going to keep. And if you don't keep it, then you don't belong to me. So we got to understand that. So Paul is saying, hey, I believe all things written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward Elohim, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection from the dead, both of the just and the unjust. The scripture teaches us that Most High is going to resurrect everybody, good and bad, and that he's going to, you got certain ones that qualify for the first resurrection, they get to reign with Christ 1,000 years, and you got the rest of the dead. And when the rest of the dead are resurrected, he says, okay, I'm going to pull out some books. Here are the books of the works of your life, and here is the Lamb's Book of Life. First, let's check if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if your name ain't in the Lamb's Book of Life, it don't matter what your works were. You didn't make it. You go straight to the lake of fire. I'm going to give you eternal life. You're not eternal. You can't die. But I'm going to throw you in this fire, and you can't die. And this is not it's not the same type of fire that we cook with. This type of fire was created for the devil and his angels, for spiritual beings. Because the devil and his angels and spiritual beings can walk in this natural fire. It don't hurt them. They can be in a volcano. It don't hurt them. But the fire that the Most High has made, he says, I designed this for him and his angels. And it's designed to torment them. It's a different type of fire. He says, now you want to walk with them? You want to be unholy? Then I'm going to give you the same penalty I give them, the same judgment I give to Satan and his angels. I'm going to make you eternal, a spiritual being that you can't die. And then I'm going to throw you in this fire that torments. Like I'm going to torment them. I hope we can hear him. So the just and the unjust. The just will come will live on this earth. Nobody goes up into the heaven of heavens. We live on this earth. Messiah's kingdom, the new Jerusalem, is coming to this earth. We're not going there. It's coming here. And so we get to live in the kingdom. Just a minute, please. We get to live in the kingdom. No death, no sickness, no hunger, no war. All of those things are done away with for those who make it into his kingdom as a citizen. But then those who are unjust, they make it into the kingdom too, but they go to the lake of fire. Okay, so we have to believe this. Have to understand the process. Verse 15 again, and have hope toward Elohim. You've got to believe. Hope meaning that you believe what he says. If you do what I say do, I'm going to resurrect you and give you eternal life, and you're not going to be, there's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more sickness. There's not going to be any more hunger. There's not going to be any more war. You're going to be able to do those things that are prosperous, that are good for mankind. I'm going to allow you to travel the stars, and you won't need to take any earth with you. Right now, we try to leave this earth. We got to take some water, some air, some food with us, or else we ain't going out there. But when we get our eternal body, we won't need any of that. We can go in outer space, go to a different planet, go to the moon, and it won't kill us because we will be spiritual. We don't understand what he has promised us, the whole extent of what he has promised us. So he's going to raise, he's going to resurrect the dead, both the just and the unjust. Okay, we got to understand that. We got to believe that. We got to walk in that. That is our hope. Most High, you're going to resurrect me, and the body you give me is not going to get sick. It's not going to grow old. It's not going to decay. It's not going to rust out. I won't have to eat if I don't want to. If I want to, I can walk through a wall, a physical wall. If I want to be, if I'm in Phoenix, Arizona right now, and I want to be in Jerusalem, all I have to do is think it, and I'm there. I don't have to get on a plane. I can just translate there by thought. We don't consider these things. Most of all, we don't value our birthright. When we are born in Messiah, we don't value it. We don't esteem it. What? You're making me your child? You're making me a child of the Most High? You're making me a child of the Creator. And we don't value that? We don't try to please him because that's what he's doing, because of who he is. So there's a lot of things wrong with us. And especially the Hebrew Israelite, so-called Negro. We are scattered into all these nations because of the sins of our forefathers. They didn't obey. They got scattered. We're born in captivity. We're wondering why the nations don't accept us. Why we are the low man on the totem pole. Why they're shooting us down like dogs. Why they don't want us to have, you know, be able to carry a weapon like they carry a weapon. This is all coming from this. Okay, we just got to understand that. Got to understand the root cause. We are our own problem. We get right with the Most High. He will give us favor in everything. And if you look in the scriptures, you will find that. Whenever Israel was in captivity, they had to obey the Most High. He gave them favor. Their captors couldn't do to them what they wanted to do to them. And if they did, then the Most High said, okay, my people were disobedient and I sent them into captivity as a punishment, but you have become proud and puffed up and think you can just do to my people what you want to do, then he would destroy them. But our problem is us. Our problem is a spiritual problem, and we have to come back to the Most High in spirit and in truth and obey his voice. We can't do what our forefathers did. We can't make the same mistakes they made. So to have this book, this Bible, and be able to, and not understand who we are as a people, and that we are scattered in all the nations of the world, and not understand that we are the people, this is our history, and that we are scattered because we wouldn't obey the Creator of the universe. But he says, only you have I loved. The nations know this. Only you have I loved. But you went a-whoring after other gods. So we got scattered. He says that we're going to be scattered until he returns. So all we got to do is learn who we are, and we can prosper in whatever land we're in. We're supposed to be setting up the kingdom. So we need to just understand this. Go to the book of Acts for the last scripture for tonight. The book of Acts, chapter 4. And let's get verses 1 and 2. The book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now these are the apostles, and they're in Jerusalem, and you know they've been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and they're walking around preaching the gospel with boldness. And you know, their own brothers and sisters didn't want to hear it. The power structure at that time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders, the chief, and the captains of the temple, the priests, all those people that were in authority, they didn't want to hear it. And so they're coming against the apostles, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Yeshua HaMashiach the resurrection from the dead. Now the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but the Sadducees didn't. And evidently the captain of the temple and most of the priests didn't believe. So they're coming against them. Hey, don't preach in that name. Don't preach the resurrection from the dead in his name. Don't be teaching the resurrection from the dead, period. But we don't want you to teach Yeshua HaMashiach either. So we as saints today, we as believers today, we as the house of Israel scattered amongst the nations, have to understand who we are. We have to understand that this gospel was first to Israel and then to the rest of the world. And that the Most High is waking us up in these last days as to who we are. And we can't get caught up in the fact that we are Israel. But we have to do the job that he has selected us for. He gave to us the statutes, laws, and commandments, the ordinances, to teach the rest of the nations, to teach the world. This is our job. We got fired from it. He says, but I know that the church is going to lose her way. And I'm waking you up in these last days to teach my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, and my judgments, to call men to true repentance. This is what I chose you for. And I'm using, just like I used Joseph when I sent him to Egypt to save my people, I use your disobedience to scatter you throughout all the world. And then I'm waking you up so that you can pick up your job and do what it is that I selected you as a people to do. Preach the true gospel and teach my statutes, my laws, and my commandments so men don't continue to transgress against me and that they fear me. Because men don't have a fear of the Most High. They think he's this loving, kind, and sweet, and merciful God. And he says, hey, they're going to learn. I love them that love me. And I'm merciful and kind to them that love me. But if you don't love me, if you don't obey my voice, I'm not merciful and kind to you. So we have to come to him and worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you even right now. We thank you for your word, Father. We believe that you have ordained a day that you shall raise the dead. And that you shall judge every man according to his works. We believe that Yeshua HaMashiach came. And that he was obedient unto death. And that he died for our sins. That he was our example. And that believing in him, that we would obey his voice. That we would be baptized in water after we have repented from our sins. And that we would seek out the Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, and that we would be baptized in your spirit. We would be reborn spiritually by your spirit, making us your children. This is what you have wanted from the beginning. You says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Most High. And this is what makes us your children. And without this, we are not yours. We don't belong to you. We are human beings, but we are not your children. So, Father, we thank you even on this evening that you have given us a mind and a heart to obey your voice, to keep your commandments, to value you above everything on this earth. There is nothing more valuable than you. No one more important than you. And we seek you with our whole heart. You are not the second thought in our minds when we wake up. You are the first. You are the last when we go to sleep. And all that we have, we dedicate it to you and your kingdom. To establish your kingdom in the earth. That when you come, when you return, that you find faith in the earth. That we have done what you have said to do. Father, if there be anyone that don't know you in this way, Father, open up their ears and their eyes. Allow them to hear and understand, to see and to perceive, that they might do what it is that you are saying that is required, that they might become your disciple, your true disciple. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On tomorrow morning, tomorrow's lesson, we are going to get into the doctrine, because I believe we've established, I have probably about, probably another 30 or 40 scriptures that I could talk about concerning resurrection from the dead. But I believe that we have hit it sufficiently that we're going to go ahead and move on. And we're going to move into eternal judgment. Because, see, a lot of people think that the Most High is not going to put them in that lake and they're going to be on fire forever, that they're going to burn forever in this fire. They don't fear him that way. They don't think that that's going to happen, that his judgment either way, thank you, his judgment either way is eternal. Either, you know, we read one scripture today, he's going to raise the just and the unjust. But it's going to be some to everlasting bliss and some to everlasting contempt. That contempt is the lake of fire. So we're going to do that tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. And I pray that, you know, I'll send out the text and the email so that we know. But it will be the Sabbath service in the morning, discipleship, the doctrines of Messiah, eternal judgment. Whether it's a good judgment or a bad, it's eternal. It's going to be forever. And so we want to see, you know, look into that doctrine so that we have an understanding. We should have an understanding of having faith in him, of the laying on of hands, of baptism, of the resurrection. And now we're going to talk about eternal judgment. These are the doctrines of Messiah so that we can walk in them and perfect and move on toward perfection. If we are ignorant of these things, then there's no way that we can move on toward perfection. So this will be the last part of this series in this part of discipleship. We're not through with discipleship. Not through with discipleship when we finish the doctrines of Christ. But we will be finished with the doctrines of Messiah so that we can move on to it, so that we don't have to keep reestablishing it, keep learning them, keep repenting from breaking his laws, that we walk up right before him. So I was, you know, on tomorrow morning. On Sunday morning, spiritual wellness, we are still doing Black history in accordance with the Bible. So we will continue in that on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. No, scratch that. I said something wrong there. We won't be doing spiritual wellness on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is the heave offering. For the world it's Easter, but the Most High never declared Easter, and it's not a holiday or a feast day that we celebrate, even though it is a feast day for us, but it's called the Feast of the First Fruits, Messiah being the first fruit from the dead. The Most High gave us that day when he gave us the Passover and Sabbath and Pentecost and all these other feast days that he gave us. What the world calls Easter, the worshiping of the goddess Esther, using Easter eggs and bunnies, have nothing to do with Messiah. So we don't worship those pagan things, but we practice what he and worship what he said, the Feast of the First Fruits. So make sure that you bring your heave offering that you're going to raise to the Most High, because this is what we are required to do. Okay, so that's Sunday. We will have a service, and it will be the heave offering or the celebration of the Feast of the First Fruits. We will talk about the resurrection of Messiah from the dead, and then him being raised from the dead, and then we will do the heave offering. So make sure that you have something that you want to heave before the Most High, that he would bless the works of your hands. All right. That being said, may the Most High bless you in your coming ins and your going out. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Obey the Most High. Don't obey me. Shalom, family. Peace and blessings. Happy Sabbath. And here we go.
I don't